cosmos, space, and time travel. Medicine, robotics, science, and technology. Professor Michio Kaku, theoretical physicist, graduated from Harvard University summa cum laude and first in his physics class. Received his PhD in physics from the University of California at Berkeley. And now, a professor of physics at City University of New York for 30 years. His goal? To complete Einstein's dream of a theory of everything, to derive an equation, to summarize all the physical laws of the universe. The co-founder of string field theory, author of the international bestsellers Hyperspace, Visions, and Parallel Worlds, and voted as one of the 100 smartest people in New York, profiling the latest cutting-edge developments in science, which revolutionize our world and touch our lives. Now, Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku.
This is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And also, if you want to dial into my website, it's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. And it lists all the cities where I'll be traveling, talking about physics of the future, my latest book, a New York Times bestseller. Well, in this hour, we're going to talk about one of the greatest possible medical breakthroughs in history. It could change the face of modern medicine. It could give us a human body shot. The technology is called stem cells, very controversial, but the potentials are enormous. If you saw the latest Spider-Man movie, you know that the bad guy, the lizard, is able to regenerate entire organs with stem cells. And think about it, the ability to grow a new heart, a new liver, a new kidney. Organ failures would be a thing of the past. You wouldn't have to wait in line to get a kidney. And of course, if the kidney doesn't come, you die. Look at Mickey Mantle, the great Yankee baseball star. How did he die? He died of liver failure. He was a hard-drinking man, and he actually had a liver transplant, creating a national controversy. Why should Mickey Mantle get a new heart over other people who were standing in line much longer? Well, eventually, his luck ran out and he died of liver failure. Well, maybe one day in the future, we'll never die of organ failure at all. We'll grow new hearts, livers, kidneys, and perhaps even cure Alzheimer's by injecting stem cells right directly into the brain. Well, with us today to talk about the promise and problems of stem cell research is one of the leading figures in this area, Dr. Paul Knopfler. He's an associate professor at the University of California, Davis, author of a forthcoming book called Stem Cells, An Insider's Guide. Will we one day have the ability to grow human organs? Now, remember that even without stem cells, using molds, we can already create a human body shop in cartilage, noses, ears, blood vessels, heart valves, bladders, and even windpipes. All these organs were grown without stem cells. However, when you start to go to more complex organs like livers, kidneys, and hearts, that's where that technology comes to a halt. But with stem cells, in principle, we could have the ability to grow an entire arm, because that's how lizards do it. It grows an entire organ of the body using stem cells. And of course, the military is very interested in this because, of course, our soldiers die on the battlefield precisely because organs fail. And so the promise of this technology is enormous. But also, we should point out some of the pitfalls of this technology as well. Sometimes these stem cells grow incorrectly and they become tumorous, in fact, create cancer. And another problem is that the research is experimental, so you're not going to be able to go to the drugstore and order a new organ anytime soon. So when you hear about these claims that you can grow new skin with stem cells, probably they're fake. Don't believe it. It's all a bunch of quackery. But now let's talk about the real McCoy. Let's talk about real stem cell research with Dr. Paul Knopfler. And once again, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And give us a call. You can always get on national radio by calling 866-323-2538. And you can get on Science Fantastic.
You're listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're going to talk about something that is potentially spectacular. It could give us a new revolution in the way we view medicine. And that is, will one day, not today, but maybe in the future, will we have a human body shop? Today, if you're in a car accident, you simply buy a new fender or you buy a new door, right? Bingo, there it is. However, what about a human body shop? Because if you're injured in that accident, maybe you need a new arm or a leg or a heart or what have you. Is it possible that one day we'll be able to grow human organs in the laboratory, just like we order automobile parts after a car accident? Well, with us today is Dr. Paul Knopfler. He is the author of a forthcoming book called Stem Cells, An Insider's Guide. He is an associate professor of cell biology and human anatomy at the University of California on the Davis campus. And he also has a blog. You can go into ipscell.com. And he's also on Twitter. You can actually follow his work on Twitter. His Twitter name is PKNOEPFLER. So, Paul, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Thank you for having me.
And the first question is, how did you as a youth get interested in science and then specifically biology?
Well, when I was growing up, I was in a family of scientists and doctors, and so at a young age, I was given a chemistry set, and I liked to play around with that. But I got more interested in biology specifically. I had quite a few different pets when I was a kid, and one of them, a lizard, sometimes would lose its tail. And I was fascinated by the fact that it could regrow part of its tail. And I was wondering, you know, how is that possible? And so I later learned that, you know, this was probably mediated by the lizard's stem cells, and somehow it could sense it had lost its tail, and, you know, it could regrow a new one, or it could regrow, you know, a leg. And so I was really excited by that and wondered if someday, indeed, you know, maybe humans could regrow different body parts and how stem cells might be involved in that.
Well, if people watch the latest Spider-Man movie, that's precisely what happens in the Spider-Man movie. However, in the experiment done by the lizard, the experiment goes awry, and of course he goes crazy in the process, and Spider-Man saves the day. Well, let's now talk about real science. First of all, what is a stem cell anyway?
Well, so a stem cell is a unique cell that's present in almost all organisms. So your average run-of-the-mill cell can't do a whole lot of things. It can, you know, perform maybe one very specific function, like help a heart beat or, be part of our skin. But a stem cell is sort of the renaissance cell. So it is endowed with the ability to do many different things, and it can, not directly but indirectly, by producing these other cell types. So, for example, a stem cell in your bone marrow might be able to produce every single kind of blood cell there is. So that's really special. Or a stem cell in your brain can produce every kind of cell in your brain. And then there's some really unique stem cells called pluripotent stem cells that, in theory, can make every single different cell in your body. So stem cells are the cells that can build our bodies when we're developing, but also are there to help fix our bodies as we age and might get injured or sick. And they're really the only cells in the body that can do that.
Okay, so if stem cells in some sense are like the mother of all cells, then there are different types of stem cells, right? Embryonic type stem cells. What are the types of stem cells and why do they differ?
That's a great question. There's some folks who theorize that every different organ in our body has its own unique complement of stem cells. So, for example, in our liver, we probably have liver stem cells that are uniquely designed to fix our liver, say, if we drink too much or, you know, we get hepatitis. And then we might have stem cells, as I was indicating earlier, in our blood system that, you know, if we get an infection, can make our immune system respond to that. And our immune system actually grows when we get sick, and that's a stem cell-dependent process. So we can attack the invading viruses or bacteria. But then there's some other kinds of stem cells, such as the embryonic stem cells and an exciting new type of stem cell called iPS cells, or induced pluripotent stem cells, that really can form almost any type of cell in your body. And so so there's different applications for these potentially in biomedical technology and in medicine. So, for example, if we are working with a stem cell from the nervous system, that cell could be very useful for, say, you know, helping someone who had a spinal cord injury or a stroke. But it's not really going to help someone who, say, had a heart attack, because it's not designed by nature to grow heart muscle or fix heart muscle. But these pluripotent stem cells, they're really especially exciting because they have this flexibility to produce almost any kind of cell you need, you know, if you get an injury and, or if you're thinking about replacing, like, an entire, you know, arm or digit, you know, which is a fairly complex tissue structure, a pluripotent cell could give rise to everything you need, the bone, the muscle, the skin. So each different type of stem cell is exciting in its own way and has unique positives and potential negatives as well.
Okay, now, is it possible that you could take, like, an adult stem cell and revert it back to its embryonic state so that it can become anything in the human body? Is that a dream, or is that really possible?
That's actually reality. It sounds kind of like sci-fi, and if you had asked me that 10 years ago, I might have told you I didn't think it was possible. But in the last 6 years, we've actually found out that actually is quite possible. And so, for example, you can take a little bit of skin from me, for example, and we can actually, in my own lab, as well as hundreds of labs around the world, we can actually turn back the clock on that skin cell and turn it into a pluripotent stem cell that is very much like embryonic stem cells that then can make a personalized transplant for me, you know, if I need a heart or a liver or a kidney or whatever one might need depending on an injury or disease. You can do that with these so-called induced pluripotent stem cells that just come from our own skin. And because they are made from what we call somatic cells, which are non-stem cells, there's no real ethical controversy surrounding them. And so it's really an exciting frontier. It's not something that we're actually using right now, you know, to produce organs to treat patients, but it's something that one can imagine in, say, 10 or 20 years might actually be the source for the human body shop that we're talking about in the future.
And concerning the controversy, let's just repeat what the controversy is all about. If embryonic stem cells have the capability of creating a human body shop of all organs, but you have to sacrifice the embryo in the process, some people think that's tantamount to murder. And as a consequence, under the administration of President George W. Bush, there were restrictions placed on federal funding, not state funding or private funding, but federal funding for stem cell research. What's the status of that now?
The debate is whether or not this early embryonic stage that we call blastocyst, from which we get embryonic stem cells, is that actually a human being, or is it just a cluster of 100 cells? And so there are different opinions on that, and I can respect that, and I have my own opinion. But some people felt, you know, while there can be different opinions, the federal government really shouldn't, you know, be in the business one way or another of supporting such research. And so some researchers, backed by some religious organizations, actually filed suit against the federal government to block federal funding of research into human embryonic stem cells. And so that case has sort of made its way through the different courts over the years. and, you know, with successes or failures for different sides, but always appealed up to a higher court. And most recently, the federal government won the case, and federal funding was determined to be legal for embryonic stem cell research. And ultimately, the U.S. Supreme Court decided not to hear that case, and so the lower court ruling now stands as the law of the land that funding by the government of embryonic stem cell research is lawful and can proceed.
Okay, and if adult stem cells can be turned into embryonic stem cells, isn't that a way around this ethical question?
That's a good point, and that's hypothetically possible, but this process of sort of, as we talked about, sort of turning back the clock on adult stem cells to make them behave more like embryonic stem cells is such a new process that we're still today learning more about it. We're learning through research in my lab as well as literally hundreds of labs around the world exactly what happens when we turn back the clock on these cells. And there are some concerns that these induced pluripotent stem cells made from adult stem cells or adult skin, for example, they might not always behave the way we want them to and might be a little bit predisposed to form cancer. And so we, most of us in the field feel like we, you know, we're very excited about the iPS cells, but we don't feel like they're exactly a replacement for embryonic stem cells, not at this time at least, because it's such a new technology that we really need to learn more about them.
Okay, good. Now let's take a look at the state of the art today. Some people say that the human body consists of about 200 or so different types of tissues, depending upon how you count. So if the human body has a finite number of tissues out of which we create the body, then of these tissues, how many of them have stem cells that have been identified in the laboratory?
You know, that's a great question, and it turns out that in most cases where people have looked, they have been able to find in these various tissues and organs, they've been able to find stem cells in just about all of them. And so the current accepted theory in the field is that every different tissue, every different kind of structure in our body might have its own complement of stem cells to, you know, help it respond to, say, an injury or a disease. And these stem cells are normally there kind of in a quiet, what we call in science, a quiescent state, just waiting around for sort of like a signal that something has happened that they need to mobilize and, say, fix an injury or maintain the homeostasis of a tissue. And so that's actually what I think. I'm actually an advocate of that theory that every different tissue in our body has a small proportion of cells that are stem cells that are there to help us. And I think it's possible over time that as we age that the number of stem cells we have actually decreases. And this might be an important factor in aging. And so there's a lot of excitement about different applications of stem cell technology in medicine, but some people are also very excited about the idea that if we can learn a great deal more, say, in the next decade or two, that stem cells might be useful for slowing down or reversing aging as well.
Well, let's again try to summarize the state of the art. Let's start with some simple organs of the body, like, for example, blood, skin. Is it possible that we can grow, in principle, large quantities of blood from stem cells? And what about skin? Is it possible that we can somehow regenerate our skin, like in the movies, with stem cells?
Yes, I think both of those things are quite possible. And, in fact, the first stem cell medical treatment that ever really became a reality was bone marrow transplantation, which actually is a stem cell-based therapy that replaces the entire immune system and all the blood cells. And in fact, researchers now have shown using pluripotent stem cells in the lab that they can grow different kinds of blood cells in the laboratory and in theory, unlimited quantities. So there's a lot of excitement. I know there's excitement in the Department of Defense that we might be able to produce essentially a designer blood that, you know, has red blood cells and platelets and other kinds
of
cells.
Okay, Paul, we have to take a short commercial break. But after the break, we want to continue with one of the great potential revolutions in all of medicine, and that is stem cell research. Once again, our special guest is Dr. Paul Knopfler, Associate Professor of Cell Biology and Human Anatomy at the University of California, Davis, author of a forthcoming book, Stem Cells, An Insider's Guide. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku.
You're listening to Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you were to write down on a sheet of paper some future medical breakthroughs, one of them would be a human body shop. Think about that. We would never die of organ failure. If you're in a car accident, you can simply order new organs of the body, like you order a new fender. Now, of course, we don't have that at the present time, but is it possible? Is it medically possible that one day we'll have tissue engineering, the ability to create organs as they fail, to perhaps extend the human lifespan, to save soldiers on the field, and to save people involved in accidents and disease? With us today is Dr. Paul Knopfler, Associate Professor of Cell Biology and Human Anatomy at the University of California at Davis, and author of a forthcoming book called Stem Cells, An Insider's Guide. Well, Paul, where we last left off, we were talking about specific examples of stem cells, and you mentioned that the Pentagon is interested in stem cells by which we can generate blood. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, so this is an area that's very exciting because the blood supply is pretty limited, both globally and in the U.S., and I've done some research in this area, and it turns out that for our soldiers, in different war zones or battling terrorists, that one of the most common causes of death for our soldiers is actually for them to lose too much blood, and they just go into shock and die on the battlefield. And so the Pentagon is really excited about the possibility that we could generate essentially unlimited supplies of blood. This would be synthetic blood produced in labs from stem cells. And if we can generate blood in, you know, all the different blood types, we might be able to have a very large amount of disposable synthetic blood available acutely for soldiers on the battlefield, and so they could get transfusions immediately if they're injured and bleeding, and that could save a huge number of lives. And of course, this would have major impact in the civilian arena as well, where blood is also limited. And in addition, there's a great amount of excitement about potentially growing skin as well. This is quite important for the military because, again, another major injury for soldiers is burn injury. And currently there are some treatments for treating skin that has been burned, but it's thought that stem cell-based technology is really going to revolutionize the regrowth of skin. And so this would be important, again, you know, both for the military but also for civilians. And there's a lot of excitement in the cosmetic industry as well that dermatologists might be able to really help patients actually grow new skin that could make them look younger.
But isn't it true that all the different kinds of potions and lotions being sold in drugstores probably don't work because they don't penetrate the skin, and therefore they're not regulated by the FDA? So you can't believe the advertisements, right, that if you take this potion, then you can take 10 years off your face. But this technology, stem cell technology, may actually work. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree that most of what we hear about in terms of cosmetics making us look younger is really not very well supported by science, and it is nonetheless a multi-billion-dollar industry, and people in the stem cell field have not ignored the fact that this is a really big industry. And so, in fact, right now, today, even just in the U.S., there are already clinics offering stem cell treatments for patients who want to look younger, stem cell facelifts, stem cell breast augmentation, rejuvenation of the skin, and there's not a lot of science to say that today we're really ready to do that in an effective manner. Although I think realistically, in a decade or so, this might be something that's real. But today, there's already people making a large amount of money injecting stem cells into patients for cosmetic reasons. And to many of us in the stem cell field, that's something that we're very concerned about.
Okay. In fact, I think it smacks of quackery. But anyway, we have with us Dr. Paul Knopfler, Associate Professor of Cell Biology and Human Anatomy at the University of California, Davis, an expert on stem cell technology, which could one day revolutionize the face of medicine. And this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Stay tuned for the next segment when we talk about the heart. Is it possible that we could cure heart disease by literally growing a new heart? Is this possible? Give us a call. You can always give us a call at 866-323-2538, and you can share your thoughts on 130 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic.
Have a question you need answered? Call the Science Fantastic hotline at 866-323-2538.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is Dr. Paul Knopfler. He's an associate professor of cell biology and human anatomy at the University of California, Davis. He's the author of a forthcoming book called Stem Cells, An Insider's Guide. Well, Paul, where we last left off, we were talking about, well, what I think is a certain amount of quackery, because some people are promising, you know, eternal skin using stem cell research. But there really is real laboratory work being done in different universities. Let's talk about heart tissue. Heart disease is one of the, in fact, it is the number one killer of people in this country. What is the progress concerning growing parts of heart tissue and maybe even growing an entire heart?
There's a lot of excitement in the area of cardiac research related to stem cells, and it really comes down to two different approaches. And one approach, which is actually being tested right now in different laboratories, is the idea that rather than growing an entire new heart, we can fix the damaged heart. So, for example, say a patient has a heart attack, what usually happens with a heart attack is the blood supply to a certain part of the heart is blocked off by a clot, and then that part of the heart literally dies. And so the patient can, assuming they survive, can go on with their life, but they have this compromised heart function, so their heart doesn't beat as strongly as normal. And so this can really dramatically affect the rest of their life, and it puts them at higher risk for other diseases. And so stem cell scientists now are doing studies where they're using stem cells to try to repair that specific damage rather than replace the entire heart. And so it's quite interesting because it turns out that stem cells have a natural homing capacity. So by nature, stem cells sense that there's damage in the body and can actually go to places of injury, such as part of a heart damaged by a heart attack, and try to fix it. And so scientists are taking a couple of methodological approaches to fixing parts of the heart. In one case, they're injecting stem cells intravenously and hoping that the stem cells take advantage of their homing function to go to the damaged heart and try to fix it. And in fact, there's some evidence that this homing actually happens. Other researchers are directly injecting stem cells into the heart muscle itself, where the damage occurred during a heart attack, and examining whether or not the heart improves its function. And in animal studies, there's actually some very encouraging data suggesting that stem cells, when used to treat a damaged heart after a heart attack in animal models, actually do improve the heart's ability to pump. And so this is really exciting. On the other side, there's scientists who are literally trying to grow entire new hearts. and this is very exciting as well. And there's some different approaches here as well. Some are taking an interesting approach where they're taking the heart from a person who has just died, so a cadaver's heart, and they do something called they decellularize it. So they remove all the cells from the heart, and interestingly, there's something left behind there. The heart doesn't just totally dissolve. There's a scaffold for the whole heart. So the architecture of the heart is supported by this fibrous material that is not cellular. And so they take this decellularized heart, and then they take a person's own stem cells, and they colonize that scaffold with the living person's stem cells. And remarkably, it will actually grow new heart tissue around that scaffold from the cadaver. And ultimately, this is thought to potentially be able to be used for heart transplants. So it's quite exciting.
Now, also with us on Science Fantastic, we had Dr. Tony Ataya at Wake Forest University, and he has a scaffolding made out of sponge-like plastic, seeds it with cells like heart valves, blood vessels, bone, noses, ears, cartilage, and he's able to grow these kinds of organs. We have to take a short commercial break, but after the break, I want to ask you, what is the difference between what you're doing with stem cells versus what Tony Ataya is doing with these plastic molds and cells that are hit with growth factors, which then proliferate into noses and ears. And this is Science Fantastic.
You're listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're talking about a medical revolution that could change everything. Tissue engineering, a human body shop. Maybe we'll be able to extend the human lifespan by making the concept of tissue failure and organ failure a thing of the past. With us today is Dr. Paul Knopfler, Associate Professor of Cell Biology and Human Anatomy at the University of California at Davis, author of a forthcoming book called An Insider's Guide. Well, before the break, I mentioned the fact that at Wake Forest University, they've been able to grow noses, ears, cartilage, blood vessels, heart valves, even a complete bladder using a plastic sponge-like mold. You inject it with ordinary cells, hit it with growth factors, and they proliferate in the mold. The mold eventually disappears because it's biodegradable and falls apart, leaving a perfect heart valve. What is the difference between stem cell technology and the technology used by Professor Ataya?
Well, actually, they're very complementary technologies, and we're thinking in the stem cell field that the use of biodegradable scaffolds may also be quite a promising approach. And so if we bring these different technologies together, I think we can kind of have the best of both worlds. And so if other researchers develop these scaffolding technologies, then I think if we seed them with stem cells, we might get even better results because the stem cells, again, have the ability to differentiate into a wide variety of different cell types. So, for example, if you were trying to build a new kidney and you seeded a scaffold with stem cells, the stem cells would grow into a variety of different differentiated cells. And also, they seem to have this interesting self-organizing property where they're programmed as they differentiate to know spatially where they should go and how they should organize into the different microstructures of different tissues. So I think they're really, again, they're complementary technologies that together can bring us in the future to this new reality, maybe in 10 or 20 years, where we indeed can replace whole organs.
Now, what about the human brain? No one expects to grow a brain anytime soon. However, there's some talk that maybe one day we'll be able to inject stem cells directly into the brain. These stem cells then proliferate. And of course, you have to relearn how to ride a bicycle and relearn certain tasks. But hey, your brain has a new injection of real brain tissue by which we may be able to combat Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think that's a very promising area, and in fact, my lab's doing research in that area using animal models ourselves, and so I think you're right. If we do grow new brain tissue, it's going to be naive tissue that, in essence, we're going to have to teach, because it's going to be like new brain, like a child's brain. And so it's going to have to adapt and get new memories and interact and interconnect with the existing brain tissue. But I think that's quite exciting, because for many different devastating conditions, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Huntington's disease, if we can grow new tissues within the brain, and this could be brain tissue itself or also new blood vessels that might supply areas of the brain with fresh supplies of blood, this could really help patients regain function that they might otherwise lose. Again, we don't quite know how this would work, how the new brain tissue would, you know, sort of talk to the rest of the brain that's already there, and how it would be interconnected. But it's definitely an exciting area that many different labs are pursuing.
Okay, well, we talked about the enormous promise of this technology. However, now let's talk about the downside. Some people say, well, where are these organs? Where are these miracle organs? They're not to be found. So the first question is, isn't it true that a lot of this is still experimental, that we don't have commercially available organs or tissues that can be bought on the open market? What is the status of that as regards to the average person who reads about this in the newspaper, but then says to himself, well, why can't I buy one?
You know, I think that's a great question, because there also has been hype in the field where people have made it sound as though, you know, in 1 year's time, we might have replacement hearts or kidneys or other organs. In reality, it's going to take a lot of time, because this is cutting-edge technology. And I do believe that we're within a revolution in medicine catalyzed by stem cells, but I think we're at the beginning of that revolution. And so we're at the point where we feel the excitement, we see the potential of the technology, but not a lot of it has come to fruition yet. So I think, as much as we're all very excited about this, that we're going to have to be somewhat patient about it and realize that it's going to take time to do this in a proper, safe kind of manner. And that introduces one of the main potential downsides here, which is that with the power of stem cells to do good things, such as grow new organs, comes a power to also sometimes misbehave and grow things that we don't want, such as tumors. And so one of my lab's main interests is actually how we can get stem cells to do what we want them to do, which is grow healthy tissues without having them have the power to give patients cancers as a side effect. So that's one of the main concerns here, and why I believe we need strict regulatory oversight of this new field, because if a doctor just injects a patient with a billion stem cells, we don't really know that all of them are going to do, quote unquote, the right thing. And some of them might, what we call, go over to the dark side and potentially give cancer to patients.
Okay, and I understand that at the UC Davis Medical Center, there are 25,000 heart cells that eventually will start beating, that you can actually create beating hearts. Amazing. Well, Paul, unfortunately, we run out of time. Once again, our special guest has been Paul Knopfler, author of a forthcoming book, Stem Cells, An Insider's Guide. So thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, Dr. Knopfler is an associate professor of cell biology and human anatomy at the University of California, Davis. And you can go to a website, ipscell, one word, ipscell.com. And he's also on Twitter. Well, once again, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Stay tuned as we continue to explore the cutting edge of science.
Listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku.